When you close your eyes and picture your perfect property purchase, what sound dominates the scene? Is it the gentle lapping of waves just steps from your back door, defining, a slow, intentional pace of life?
Or is it maybe that constant, invigorating hum of a city, promising instant access to every convenience and opportunity?
That decision beach versus city, it's far more than just a geographical choice, especially when you're looking at Phuket.
Absolutely. You're essentially choosing an entire emotional and financial operating system. And look, to navigate this pretty nuanced market, we've pulled together some deep insights from Ocean Worldwide.
Right, Ocean Worldwide. They're a luxury real estate agency, been a fixture in Phuket since what, 2004?
That's right, since 2004.
Yeah.
And we're drawing specifically on the expertise of Sandra O'Neill, the agency director.
Okay.
I mean, she and her team have helped literally thousands of families and, savvy investors make this exact kind of fork in the road decision over the years.
So our mission today really is to unpack the key differences that their analysis highlights. We're talking daily rhythms, the surprising affordability factor, even the complex legal structures you need to get your head around.
Yeah, we're going to try and help you figure out which property package truly aligns with your long-term goals.
Yeah.
Because the core contrasts are, well, they're pretty non-negotiable.
Right.
You're weighing that spontaneous, nature-centric living against relentless urban convenience and highly seasonal, high-yield investment returns against maybe more stable, passive long-term income.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with maybe the most personal part, lifestyle priorities. For our listeners, we know the decision isn't just about where you sleep, it's really about how your day unfolds. So when you choose the island side of Phuket places like Rawai or Kamala, what's the immediate shift in your daily rhythm?
The shift is profound. I mean, time fundamentally just slows down. Forget the stress of that structured 9-to-5 commute,
Yeah.
from major global cities. On the beach side, you replace gridlock with like a short, easy scooter ride down a palm-lined road. The sources we looked at from Ocean Worldwide suggest health and happiness almost become effortless
How so?
because daily outdoor activities stop being a planned event, something you have to schedule, and they just become spontaneous.
What stands out to me there is the immediate access to wellness. You don't have to pack a gym bag and drive 45 minutes to get exercise, right?
Exactly.
You can just roll out of bed and, I don't know, be paddle boarding, snorkeling, or hiking to a waterfall before city dwellers have even hit their morning traffic jam.
Exactly right. The island environment kind of forces you to be in the moment. Your biggest decision might genuinely be which direction to walk the beach at sunrise,
Yeah.
or deciding if today's activities will center around the ocean, or, maybe the jungle trails. Now, compare that to the city experience, whether you're talking bustling Phuket town or maybe Patong.
Right.
The urban energy demands a tighter schedule, constant navigation, and often just less green space available easily.
So the trade-off here seems crystal clear. Island life offers these unforced, spontaneous moments of peace, connection to nature, prioritizing experience over speed. Whereas urban life offers instant access to complex infrastructure, top-tier shopping, international schools, theaters, networking, but maybe at the cost of that daily gentle pace.
It's really a choice between maximizing efficiency, let's say in the city, and maximizing serenity on the beach side. Simple as that.
Okay, let's shift gears then to the financial side, because the investment profiles sound like they're as different as the lifestyles. We hear luxury real estate in Phuket, and instantly the mind goes to, I don't know, the cost of London or New York.
Yeah, that's a common assumption.
But Ocean Worldwide's data suggests a pretty significant affordability factor.
It's genuinely one of the most compelling aspects of the Phuket market, particularly when you compare the sheer volume of space you actually acquire for your money. Plus, the cost of living for daily expenses, food, transport, services, it's dramatically lower than in most major Western cities. And that really stabilizes the ongoing cost of ownership, too.
Give us the tangible numbers, the kind that make, a sophisticated investor sit up and really take notice.
Okay. So for entry-level investment-grade properties, think like a modern condo with shared pool facilities. You can often start around, say, 60,000 to 80,000 pounds.
Wow, okay. 60 to 80,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's incredibly accessible. But where the value proposition really explodes is in the villa market. You can secure a private pool villa, often fully appointed, in the 200,000 to 400,000 pounds range.
Wait a second. If I'm thinking of a similar budget in, say, Sydney or Toronto, 400,000 pounds maybe gets me a small, sometimes kind of aging, one-bedroom apartment. You're telling me that same investment in Phuket buys a pool villa, potentially double the living space.
Absolutely. The sources, Ocean Worldwide's analysis, confirm this huge delta in value per square meter. And that price point, it attracts not only high net worth investors, but also, families looking for a retirement home or digital nomads seeking a superior quality of life.
A quality of life that just isn't achievable for that price in Western markets.
Exactly. The city properties, by contrast, they tend to attract investors focusing purely on that urban hustle and business convenience. The sophisticated high-rise condo, maybe near the business district.
Okay, that makes the initial jump seem less daunting. But what about market stability? The perception of resort markets is sometimes that they can be prone to boom and bust cycles, especially if development gets out of control. How does Phuket manage that risk?
Well, this is where the geography of being an island really works to its advantage. Land is inherently finite,
Right.
particularly those highly desirable strips on the West Coast, famous for the sunset views. This natural scarcity acts as a kind of permanent market stabilizer. It drives up price retention and demand.
So supply is intrinsically capped, basically.
Precisely. And furthermore, the development style in Phuket, as noted by Ocean Worldwide in the reports, it favors lower density villa estates over massive urban high-rise towers.
Ah, interesting.
Local regulations are also focused on preserving natural beauty, actively preventing the kind of oversupply that can destabilize major mainland urban centers, which might rely solely on rapid population growth.
I see.
This sort of controlled approach, coupled with steady international tourism, provides a resilience against global economic fluctuations.
That strong underpinning is, well, it's essential for an investor. Okay, let's look at income generation then, because the rental yields sound quite different between the two property types. The island side, focused on seasonal tourism, that must come with some headaches, right?
It does. You're right to flag that. Phuket's beach properties can offer phenomenal short-term seasonal yields, often hitting, say, 7% to 10% annually for beachfront villas.
7 to 10%. Wow.
Yeah, especially during peak periods like Christmas and Chinese New Year. Occupancy can touch 90%. That's a powerful income stream.
But I imagine the operational reality of managing that level of turnover is intense. It's not exactly passive income. It's more like running a business needing serious logistics.
You hit the nail on the head. While the yield is high, the management intensity is equally high. You're dealing with frequent guest check-ins, check-outs, constant cleaning turnovers, platform marketing, and those seasonal fluctuations require flexible staffing.
Right.
Most absentee owners, realistically, must budget for a dedicated, high-quality management agency. And of course, that eats into the net yield.
And the city property, that must offer a completely different, maybe simpler profile.
It generally does. Urban condos tend to attract long-term tenants, local residents, business expats, maybe staff working year-round. This translates to more stable, predictable income and much less management headache.
Okay.
Occupancy is typically higher and steadier, often around 85% to 95% year-round. The trade-off: the yield is lower, generally in the 4% to 7% range annually.
4 to 7%.
Yeah. So it's really a choice between that highly active, high peak income potential and more passive, reliable income stream.
Okay, let's move on to the segment that probably causes the most anxiety for international buyers, the legal frameworks. If I'm buying a property in Phuket as a foreigner, what's the simplest, most straightforward way to actually establish ownership?
Okay, for a straightforward, kind of hassle-free investment, the condo market is definitely the simplest path. Foreigners can own condominium units outright on a freehold basis.
Freehold.
Freehold means perpetual ownership. You own it.
Yeah.
And the legal process for that is common and very well defined in Thailand. It's established.
What if I want that dream pool villa? If I want land ownership, that requires a different structure, which our sources indicated is significantly more complicated.
It is, yes. And due diligence is absolutely paramount here. Foreigners generally cannot own land directly in their own name on a freehold basis.
Right.
So if you're buying a villa, you're typically looking at two primary structures, and both really require expert legal assistance. You shouldn't try this alone.
Okay, walk us through those options then.
The first, and quite common, is the long-term leasehold. This is usually structured as a 30-year lease, but with legally assured renewal options, effectively giving you control of the land for, say, up to 90 years.
90 years, okay.
The second path, which is more complex, involves setting up a Thai company structure.
A Thai company.
Yes. This company holds the title to the land, and the foreigner owns the majority shareholding of that company.
Why is the company structure often flagged as needing extra scrutiny? What's the catch?
Well, it's because it is intricate. and it requires constant regulatory compliance. You have to demonstrate that the company is legitimately active and not just, you know, a shell corporation used solely to circumvent foreign ownership laws.
Huh, okay. Active business.
Right. While it can be effective, it requires deep engagement with local reputable legal counsel something. Ocean Worldwide strongly emphasizes in their advice to ensure the structure is fully compliant and robust for the long term.
That's a crucial distinction. So condos, simple freehold ownership, villas, require a strategic, legally advised structure, either leasehold or a properly managed company.
Got it. Finally, let's talk community integration. Once I've closed on the property, how easy is it to find my tribe, so to speak, in these two different environments?
Well, the sources suggest the pace really dictates the community feel. The island vibe tends to encourage a more organic social scene.
How so?
Because communities are often smaller and people generally have more time and maybe more intention for socializing. Integration happens more naturally, you know, through beach yoga classes, casual sports groups, maybe volunteering with marine conservation efforts. It feels more relationship driven.
And the city life.
Yeah.
Or transactional.
It can feel that way sometimes, yeah. City communities, often driven by constant change and maybe a faster turnover of people, tend to be a bit more formal. You find connections through networking events, business clubs, or organized groups.
It's great for professional links, absolutely. But the relationships can sometimes feel a little more transient, perhaps, because people are always moving, focused on their next career move or business step.
Right. So this entire deep dive, really drawing heavily on the insights from Ocean Worldwide, has reinforced that the choice between urban Phuket and beach Phuket, it's fundamentally about choosing your life's daily rhythm, isn't it?
Exactly.
Phuket, the beach side, offers that chance for spontaneous, nature-centric living, a significantly lower cost of living, and that high, albeit seasonal, investment potential.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the city offers instant convenience, constant variety, and more stable, passive, long-term rental income.
So the ultimate question for you, the listener, really boils down to this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you crave the sound of the waves and maybe the feeling of sand between your toes as the backdrop to your everyday life?
Or
is it that persistent hum of the city, that energy, that's what you need to color your world?
Yeah, it's a very personal decision. And if the idea of that island lifestyle, backed by the expert guidance of an established agency like Ocean Worldwide one, that truly understands the nuances of the local market, if that resonates with your investment goals,
then you should definitely explore it further.
Ocean Worldwide, led by Sandra O'Neill, as we mentioned, has been helping thousands of property investors since 2004 navigate these very decisions. You can start defining your dream lifestyle package, learn more about those attractive entry costs we talked about,
and just get a feel for what's possible
by visiting oceanwwp.com. That's oceanwnabp.com.